come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
The following is a recorded teaching from the Heart to Heart online summer series titled In Our Home. More information about this series is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
I am just so excited to see all of you who are in the house. I love seeing you in the house, and I know you love being here together and everything. I just got notice this morning that the gal that was teaching this morning is not teaching this morning. So she has sent me her notes, and I get to teach her notes, and I'm very excited. And she does wonderful notes, so that's why I'm a little bit and can't get it together this morning. I barely got myself dressed. I hope everything is combed and lipstick is on and all that sort of thing. But I'm excited for those of you who have joined us online, and we're excited for our chance to get to see you again face to face. In way of announcements, July 1st, tomorrow, Resonance, 6:30, and we have a very special guest that is going to be opening the singing, the concert. So there's a very special guest coming for that, and then also some other worship going on, some teaching going on. 5:45, the taco truck is here. Resonance starts at 6:30, but the taco truck is here at 5:45. There'll be coffee also available for you there for purchase. All of these things are for purchase. Bring your own camp chair or your own beach chair, whichever you would like. You can bring a blanket and sit on the grass, and we can socially distance out there. And last week was a lot of fun, and just really excited to see what God will do. So, also because I've been running all over the place, I'm probably glistening. I'm not sweating, I'm glistening. Women do that, right? The fireworks sale to support missions is Thursday, starts tomorrow, right? Yes, through the 4th of July. Is it 4 to 10 p.m., is that correct? 4 until 10 p.m., it's open for you to purchase fireworks. Since we can't go see them anywhere, we have to purchase our own. Oh, fun. I fear that I... Could we just all take a breath right now? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Be sure to pick up your scripture writing for July, and it happens to be on miracles. And I don't know why the Lord leads us to these particular ones for our scripture writing, but for July, it's miracles, and we are about to see some miracles happening in our midst. If you want to pick up your scripture writing plan, you can pick it up today, or you can pick it up on Sunday, or you can if you come in tomorrow night, you can probably pick it up tomorrow night. Or if you email me, joy@refugefamily.com, I am happy to send you a copy of it. So, okay, I can feel that people are praying right now. They feel sorry for me getting it together. Most of you know, Maureen Schaefer has gone to be with the Lord. And her memorial service is today. And Josh, do we by chance have that to be able to put up? Oh, okay. So there's all of the information. to celebrate her beautiful life with us, please contact Andrea. So if you want to take a picture of that, we'll leave it up long enough for you to be able to do that. And it's just, she's an amazing woman. She still is an amazing woman. And she's still, right now today, she's looking into the face of Jesus. And so we're excited that she is where she is at. I'm thankful that she's no longer in pain. I am thankful that she no longer has to suffer in any way, but she is with her love, the love of her life, which is Jesus Christ. And please pray for her family and as things move forward with all of that. I know that Maureen, when she arrived, the Lord said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So, yes, because she's walked with the Lord. So, Lord Jesus, we just come before you, Father, and we're so thankful, Lord, so thankful that you have called us to be in this place at this time. Lord, that you have positioned your people and you continue to position your people. Father, that you have given us more than we ever deserve. You have given us all of the things, Lord, that pertain to eternal life. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the air that we breathe. I thank you, Father, for homes to live in. I thank you, Father, for food to eat. Thank you, Lord, that we can walk together, that we can pray together, that we can seek your face, Lord, that we without fear can pray and read your word, Lord. We can read your word in public without fear. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness toward us. Thank you, Lord, for your giving toward us. Thank you, Lord, that you have gone before us. Thank you, Lord, that you knew exactly what was going to happen today. You knew exactly who was supposed to be standing up here. You knew exactly who put the study together. And I am so thankful, Lord, that you have given us this opportunity, Lord, to bring glory to your name, because you are worthy of all glory and honor and praise. And Lord Jesus, I pray, Father, for our country. I pray, Father, for our leaders. How hard it must be, Lord, to lead a country and to lead a state, to lead a county, to lead a city. Lord, it's a hard job. And Father, they need your strength. They need your wisdom. Father, they need what only you can give. And so, Father, we lift every one of them before you. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that today that you would bless them, that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon each one of the leaders, Lord, in whatever capacity they're in, our Supreme Court judges, all of them, Lord, that they would have wisdom that comes only from you. Father, that they would find you faithful, that, Lord, they would come to know you as their personal Savior, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we are living in this country at this time, because you have placed us here, and we are thankful to be exactly where you have us. And so we want to praise you. We want to glorify you. We lift up your name on high, Lord. This is the day that you have made. We choose to rejoice. We choose to be glad in it. Lord, anoint our time together. Would you anoint our time together, Lord? Draw our thoughts together. Calls us, Lord, to be focused and to be ready for what you have for us today, Lord. To be able to speak the gospel to people, Lord. To be able to share in a way that people can understand, Lord, that we would walk in kindness, that we would walk in joy, that we would walk in a peace that this world can't give. We thank you, Lord, that you have poured this out on us this morning. Thank you, Father, that you have gone before us and you have paved the way. Father, we look for the coming of Jesus Christ. We know that you are at the door, waiting, excited about receiving your church. And so, Lord, we look with anticipation, Lord, with great anticipation to that moment when you call us to come on up here and be with me in my house. Lord, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'd go to prepare a place for you. You've told us that. You've prepared a place for us, Lord. and that you would come and that you would receive us unto yourself. So we thank you, Lord, for that promise. We thank you, Lord, that as we walk through every day today, starting with today, Lord, that we would just walk in confidence of who you are and what you are doing. And we want to honor you and praise you and give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And with that, we're going to go right to our video.
What can you do to be kind?
Quite a few times I let other people do something that they wanted to do, even though I didn't like it that much. That's not all that often.
Sometimes at the playground, my friends are sad, and I sit next to them and talk to them.
And my grandpa's birthday is coming up, so I made him a birthday card with sparkly pens my mom has.
It means, like, not to be so hard on them and not to be so harsh and cruel. Don't say mean stuff to them and try not to hurt their feelings. God wants us to do that, and it's the right thing.
Wow. Is that just so cool? Out of the mouth of babes. It's out of the mouth of babes that those words come, and they remind us of what God has given to us. And so guess what we're talking about today? I guess God has had an idea that perhaps I need a lesson in this, because I get to teach on kindness. And so that's what Lisa Brubaker was to be our teacher today, and she had a bout of vertigo, and so she was unable to stand up here and teach. However, she does very good notes. She's definitely a writer, so I will be teaching from her notes. So bear with me if I kind of do one of those I don't know things, because I just found out for sure this morning. So it's great. It's great. God's got this, right? God's got this. And we all need to know a little bit more about kindness. Yesterday, I was in the grocery store, and as I was waiting in line to go up to the checker, and I was, just kind of, because you're 6 feet apart and everything, I noticed that people don't talk to each other. People don't look at each other. We look away, even with masks on, we look away from each other. And I don't know why we do that. I catch myself doing it. I don't know why we do that, but we turn away from each other, and I'm finding that we're in a place where the aloneness is getting very, very alone. Very, very isolated. And I noticed that when I got up to the checker that I normally go to, we normally laugh together. We normally have fun things to share about our families and everything. But to look at everybody, they didn't share anything. When I said, "How's your day?" "Yeah, good." You know, it's just, there is an isolation that's happening that is creating a lack of kindness on our parts. And we need to understand what it is to be kind. So the scripture that we're going to today is going to be in Ephesians 4. And so if you want to turn to that, kindness, those the kids in the video get it right. Doing something someone else wants to do, even though I may not want to. Even though I don't want to do it, I'm going to do it. Not to be hard, harsh, or cruel. And don't say mean things to them and not hurt their feelings. Sometimes we don't realize that we've hurt someone's feelings, do we? Sometimes we just blurt out something and we don't realize the consequences of what we've said. And God has that. He has it for us to learn to be kind. The Bible gives us direction to follow truth. The Bible gives us directions to follow, truth to declare, and virtues to show, not only to the world around us, but also in our homes. The study is called In Our Home. So that's where all of these things start first, right? Right. Okay. So in Ephesians 4, a quick view of it. In verses 1 through 6, Paul encourages the church to walk in what? In unity. To walk in unity. Is it difficult for you right now to walk in unity in the church? Is it difficult for us right now to keep connected with each other and walk in that unity? Maybe that person feels this way about that issue, and this person feels this way about that issue. Oh, we have a division. Oh, no, we didn't mean to create a division. That's just the way I feel. That's just the way I feel. Can't we just feel the way we feel and still love each other? Can we do that without causing that division? Because a house divided against itself cannot stand. And a house that is divided because we can't allow each other. The space, the ability to just be who they are. We want everybody to think and do what exactly. I want everybody to do what I think. I don't think it because I think I'm wrong. I think it because I think I'm right. And you do what you do because you think that that's right. And so we need to come together in that. So verses 1 through 6 talk about unity. Remember, everyone who believes in Jesus is part of the family, the body of Christ, which of course includes those in your home, your husband, your children, parents, and siblings. In verses 7 through 16, he talks about the spiritual gifts that each of us is given by God. In verses 17 through 24, tells us that we should be living as children of light, as new men and women in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things have become new. In my Bible, I have circled all of the alls. All things have become new. Throw off the old ways in verses 25 through 29. Paul tells us to throw off the old sinful nature and our old way of life and to be changed, to be transformed by letting the Holy Spirit renew our minds and renew our attitudes. Oh, my attitude, you gotta go there. You gotta go there with my attitude. I'm doing the best I can. But no, he deals with our attitudes. Be done with lying. And she speaks of when we went through being honest about things. If you get angry because we all do, don't sin. If you get angry because we all get angry, just don't sin in your anger. Walk in a way that is pleasing to God. Walk away from the situation if you can before you do or say something you will regret. And don't go to bed angry. How many of you have been up for a week? Anybody ever been up for a couple of days because I'm not going to bed angry. I'm not going to bed angry because I've gone to bed angry. I can't sleep anyway, so I might as well get up and be awake. I'm awake. So anyway, do all you can to resolve the issue if possible. Don't steal, but work with your hands so that you can have something to give to someone else. Why do we work with our hands? So that we have opportunity to give. Not so that we have opportunity to get, but so that we have opportunity to give. To give off to other people. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. In verse 30, our bitterness, our anger, our speaking evil of someone else grieves the Spirit. Why have you grieved the Holy Spirit? Paul said, why have you grieved the Holy Spirit? It isn't because he can't handle our sin, but because it hinders him. It slows him down from doing his work in us, through us, and for us. If we continue to walk in disobedience, we grieve the Holy Spirit. If we continue to walk in disobedience, we grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't want to be in that place of grieving the Holy Spirit. In verse 31, Paul adds that we are to let, and now this is from the Amplified Bible. I haven't used the Amplified Bible in a long time, and I'm thinking about going back to it because it just explains things so well. It uses so many words. I was listening to someone recently, and I was, as I listened to them, I was thinking, can you condense that? You're using so many words to say that. Have you ever listened to someone like that, and it's just like, by the time they get through with what they've said, you have no idea what they said to begin with, because you're, because they've used so many words. But the Amplified Bible is so good in this. So verse 31 in the Amplified Bible, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, which is passion, rage, bad temper, perpetual hostility, resentment, strife, fault-finding, and slander be put away from you, along with every kind of malice, all spitefulness, verbal abuse, evil speaking. Are you clear on what God wants you to do? Okay, we've had it explained carefully. The Common English Bible states it, put aside all bitterness, losing your temper, anger, shouting, and slander, along with every other evil. Be done with it. Just put it away. Put it away. Put it off. Take it off and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Like you, I want to be all God wants me to be. I want to serve him the way he is calling me to serve him, and don't we all want to do that? Today, our focus is on a wonderful concept, that vital virtue that unfortunately and regrettably is often forgotten, and we talked about that already, even in our own home. It's the virtue of kindness. So in verse 32, chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Jesus is our example. When I read these qualities of kindness, tenderheartedness, forgiveness, my thought goes immediately to Jesus. He is all things and so much more. The awesome thing is God isn't asking me to do something impossible because what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. He's asking me to trust him to make these things possible in me. I need to trust him to make these things possible in me. Not in my own strength. I am a weakling. I am weak. No, I am weak, and I know it. But in his strength and through his transforming power. So be kind. From a young age, we have heard our parents tell us that we are to be nice, to be kind to your little brother, be kind to your sister, be kind to the neighbors, be kind to the people that come to the house. We are taught to be kind. The word kindness is found in the Bible 46 to 48 times, depending on the translation that you're looking at. What does being kind mean? The word kind in Greek is pronounced Christos. It's spelled Christos. So if anyone stops you on the street and asks you, what is the Greek word for kindness, you will be able to say it to them. You will be able to tell them. You have it in your notes. It means useful, gentle, pleasant. It's the opposite of, and so that was useful, gentle, and pleasant. It's the opposite of harsh, hard, sharp, or bitter. And by definition, it means properly fit for use. Properly fit for use. It's useful. It's virtuous or good. When you show kindness to someone, whatever that may be, it should be beneficial and useful to them. Not for what I can get, but to them. It should be beneficial and useful to them. It's not for me to get my way. It's not for me to get something from them. What does being kind-hearted in my home look like? So thinking about how life has changed for us with COVID-19 and knowing that God doesn't allow things to happen without a purpose, we're excited about this summer series because we have the time. Well, God made the time, didn't he? for us to take a closer look at some specific areas in our personal walk with him and with our family. We have had time to focus on the kind of family member I am, and as those of us who are married, the kind of wife that I am, what kind of wife my husband needs. So she states that when I gave her the list of topics and passages to look over and decide which one Lisa wanted to talk about, she said, I kept going back to Ephesians 4. I admit I was a little nervous because every time God has asked me to teach, it is for sure that I will have to examine my own walk and live out what I'm learning. I can always expect a test. I have found that to be true every time I have taught anything. I get to be tested on it. I want to be the same thing on the inside that you see on the outside. And I want to make sure that there is nothing phony about me. And that's what Lisa is also saying. In light of this specific verse and the title of our series, In Our Home, I knew I would have to put myself under God's lens and see what he sees in me. I know God loves me and has forgiven me all my sin, but I also know there's plenty of room for improvement. Anybody else notice that in your life there's a little bit of room for improvement? A little bit of room for improvement in my life. In fact, probably a lot of room for improvement. I don't have to be anxious or afraid of my shortcomings and flaws. And that's a place that needs to be improved in my life because I am afraid of my shortcomings. I get afraid of my shortcomings. I get afraid of not being able to do it well. And so that's something that God's working in me on. God wants what is best for me, and I can't change what I don't know needs to be changed. Have you ever had a conversation, maybe with your husband you had this conversation, and you said, you know, there's something wrong. You can tell there's something wrong in the relationship. And you say, what is going on? Can you tell me what I've done? Just tell me what I've done. Well, no, not going there. No, don't want to talk about that. The other person doesn't want to talk about that. Or maybe I'm saying, I don't want to talk about that. You know, I can't change what I don't know is wrong. We can't change what we don't know is wrong. And so God has to point out to us those things that need change, right? He has to point those things out to us. I know that everything we learn this summer is because he is trying to mold and shape us into the image of Jesus so we could be a light in a very dark world, but it's important that we are lights first in our home. Lights first in our home. So let's light up our home. Luke 8:16-18. Luke 8:16-18. No one lights a lamp and then covers it with a bowl or hides it under a bed. A lamp is placed on a lampstand where its light can be seen by all who enter the house. She speaks of her daughter who recently moved into a beautiful townhouse, but there's only one room that's lacking something, and it's the living room. And in the living room, there's no good lighting in that room. And so it's a high vaulted ceiling that really could use a hanging lamp. She could use floor lamps, but she wants the light to shine from above. She wants the light to shine from above, to light up the whole room, not just a corner. She doesn't like being in that room after the sun has set, unless she's watching a movie. And in our home, we should be that light that can be seen by all who enter and live there. We should be that kind of light that shows. Public or at home, we are to be kind. In public, I know how I'm supposed to behave. I'm supposed to be polite. I'm supposed to be kind. I'm supposed to hold back what I want to say to that person that just grabbed that item that I just wanted to grab and it was the last one. And it was, you know what? I love to shop at TJ Maxx. I'm throwing this in here. I love to shop at TJ Maxx. And so TJ Maxx is open. Oh, great. I go to TJ Maxx. And the items on the shelves are socially distanced. One of the things about TJ Maxx is digging through stuff and finding a treasure. And here's this one, and here's this one, and here's this one, and here's this one. Okay, I don't want any of those four. Okay, so move along to the next shelf. Anyway, I don't want to say that to anybody else, that I'm really frustrated by that, so I just said it to everybody. So, remembering the wise saying that if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. When I'm around you and I'm quiet, that is not the reason. I just want you to know, that's not the reason. I'm just thinking about something else. I will think of something to say. That's kind of like when you say, well, that's interesting. You can always say something nice. You can come up with something nice. So how are we doing in our homes? Am I being helpful and pleasant to my husband or my other family members? Or am I harsh or sharp in my response to them? We all know that good communication is a key to marriage, but I think a sense of humor goes a long way. She tells this story of her sister who recently they were talking and they were talking about the challenges of living 24/7 with their husbands. Kind of like retirement, I think. I don't know. We're not there yet, but it seems that way. She and her husband have a wonderful sense of humor. She said that there have been times that her husband will ask her, "Why are you being so snippy? What are you being so snippy about?" She simply responds, 24/7, babe, 24/7. And they go on. They laugh and they go on with it. And we learn from that simple dialogue between them that being a wise woman means choosing to respond with kindness and a little humor. Janice Blake is very much that way. She is very much that way. I have watched her as she responds to her husband and to other people. And the way that she makes humor out of it, and she always has a kind word. She always has a kind word, and it's worth pointing out that she is like that. Throughout Scripture, we find acts of kindness, kindness to strangers and to family members. In Abigail and David to his men in 1 Samuel 25, you want to read 1 Samuel 25. Abigail was kind to David and to his men and gave them what they needed and ended up being one of his wives, but that's all in the story there, so you can. The Good Samaritan in Luke 10, 30 through 38. And in that story, the Good Samaritan, was not a guy who was liked. He wasn't loved by everybody. And yet he was the one who was kind to the man who had been beaten, who took care of the man who was beaten. And so you want to read that, Luke 10, 30 through 38. Joseph showed kindness towards his brothers when he forgave them and provided for them during the time of famine, even though they had sold him into slavery. They had sold him into slavery, and what happened to him when he was sold into slavery? What did he become? A big name in Egypt. A big name in Egypt. One who prepared the way for them. That's in Genesis 50, Genesis 50, verses 15 through 21. So it was a great thing. Ruth showed kindness to her mother-in-law, Naomi, and Boaz showed kindness to both of them. She also showed kindness to Boaz as well. And that's, of course, in the book of Ruth. The act of kindness that impacts all of us is the kindness of God. In Nehemiah 9, 17, you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abundant in kindness. In Titus 3, 4 through 6, tells us that God revealed his kindness and love, not because of the righteous things that we have done, but according to what? According to his mercy, he has saved us. Being kind is more than remembering our manners. I believe that that goes hand in hand, but saying excuse me, please, and thank you are verbal expressions of kindness and respect that our parents taught us. But having a kind heart goes beyond the verbal because, let's face it, our words mean nothing when our actions say something else. Our words mean nothing when our actions are saying something else. And it's important that we realize that. Galatians 5:22 says kindness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Most of us are in our homes with our families right now 24/7. I often have to ask myself, am I showing my husband kindness? Even if we're not in the house 24/7, we need to ask ourselves of whoever it is that is in our house, are we showing kindness? I don't know if they are showing kindness. I'm not responsible for their actions. I'm responsible for my reaction. I'm responsible for my actions. So seen and unseen kindnesses. We experience acts of kindness that can be seen. When in need years ago, someone met a financial need we had anonymously, and this is Lisa, of course, saying this. We don't know who gave such kindness, but God knew. At home, maybe it's fixing my husband's favorite meal, making his day a little lighter by doing what I can around the house so he won't have so much on his list of things to do. I don't know. I think they should do their list, their to-do list. I don't know. Whoop, there it goes. It's already out. Ah, no, these are the jokes. There's a video I've seen. Oh, this is so good. I know you guys have seen this video. There's a video I've seen where a young boy falls off his skateboard. A man leaving a coffee shop stops to help the boy up. As the boy is walking away, he sees an elderly woman struggling with her grocery bags, trying to cross the street. The boy stops to help her, and she, in turn, sees a young girl digging in her purse to find change for the parking meter, and she gives the girl some change, and it goes on, and it goes on, and it goes on. Kindness, like anything else, is contagious. Kindness is contagious. And it's a reaping and sowing effect as well. Sincere kindness doesn't expect anything in return. It just simply the act of doing something that brings joy or benefit to someone else, to someone else, to someone else. Because it's not all about me. I think it's all about me. When I get up in the morning, I think it's all about me. And then it takes me that long just to get with the Lord and have him remind me. And you're praying for this person, and you're praying for that person, and you're praying for this, and you're praying for that situation. You are praying, because it's not all about me. Christians should be leading the way in showing kindness to others, whether they're a part of the family of God or not, to everyone. There is a kindness we all have the ability to do from our own homes. It's the kindness of prayer. The kindness of prayer. Focused, intentional prayer for your husband, for your kids, for others. And I don't always know the specific needs of my husband at work or in his walk with the Lord, but when I approach the throne of grace, I know the Holy Spirit knows. And I'll tell you something that I pray for my husband, and I've also prayed it for other people. I've prayed it for my children. Lord, would you show me their deepest spiritual need? Because that's what I want to pray for. I want to pray for healing. I want to pray for this situation. I want to pray for that situation. I want to tell the Lord how it ought to work out. Did anybody else got that? Okay, Lord, I want you to do this and this and this and this. And if you could do it in that order, oh, no, put number three first. No, I want to tell him what to do, but I want the Lord to direct those prayers. The Holy Spirit knows what we have need of, even before we ask. And so we take that time to allow the Holy Spirit to lead. Sometimes I use some great books that help get me started outside my way of thinking. 31 Prayers for My Husband. 31 Prayers for My Husband is the title of one, and it's by Jennifer Smith. 31 Prayers for My Husband, Jennifer Smith. And I will give you a little, it's not really a secret, but it is insight, but it is things that I pray for my husband are easily prayed for someone else. It doesn't have to be just for my husband. I can learn from this book for my husband, but I may not have a husband anymore. I may never have had a husband, but I can still pray those same principles for someone else. So it's a good book to read. For my kids, praying God's will for your son or daughter. Praying God's Will for Your Son or Daughter by Lee Roberts. Lee Roberts. It helps me pray scripture for different areas of their life. Even though they're adults, I still use this book. The Virtue of Kindness. And so we can take those books. We can take the principles of those books that remind us to pray this way, remind us, bring us back into those places. The Virtue of Kindness begins when we personally experience the kindness of others, but especially when we experience the kindness of God when He, by His grace, forgave us of our sins. Let me repeat that. The Virtue of Kindness begins when we personally experience the kindness of others, but especially when we experience the kindness of God when, by His grace, He forgave us of our sin. We are to forgive one another. We are to be tender-hearted. Have you noticed that when you forgive others, something happens in your heart? When you forgive others, have you noticed that something happens in your heart? It does. There is a freedom that comes from forgiving someone else. Well, I can't forgive them. I can't possibly forgive them for what they did to me. They hurt me so bad. They changed my life. They moved me into this place. They ruined my life. When I come to a place of forgiving them, I am set free from bitterness. I am set free from anger. I am set free from all of those things that are connected with holding on to grudges. Let them go. Let them go. Let that grudge go. It's not worth hanging on. Walls that once surrounded your heart begin to fall away. We're no longer consumed by our anger or by our hurt. You know, most of our anger comes out of being hurt anyway. So let's just forgive for that whatever happened and move forward. Kindness and forgiveness are to be shown to everyone, especially those in the body of Christ, even those who may have hurt us by their actions or by their words. And I am called to be kind and tender-hearted and forgiving. So change my heart. In Psalm 51, verse 10, David wrote, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Renew a right spirit within me. Right now I have the spirit of anger. Right now I have the spirit of hurt. Right now I have, although these are not things that can be cast out, I'm not talking about that kind of spirit. I'm talking about an attitude. Renew a right spirit within me. I'm not responsible for the change in someone else. I'm only responsible for what God's asked me to do. I can't create a new heart in myself. I can't create a new heart in myself. God can. What I'm capable of changing is my thoughts of how I'm going to deal with a situation or with a person. I can change my thoughts and how I'm going to deal with a situation or a person. I ask God to forgive my stubbornness. Oh, I am one stubborn person. And it just makes me crazy sometimes. I'm so stinking stubborn. I ask God to forgive my stubbornness and my pride. And I ask him for strength. I ask him to give me a tender heart toward that person. Lord, would you give me a tender heart toward that person? Only you can change my heart, Lord. Give me a tender heart toward that person. God has given me a free will to make make choices. So when I choose to change my thinking and choose to forgive, I'm allowing God to change my heart. When I choose to change my thinking and choose to forgive, I am allowing God to change my heart. Suddenly, I'm seeing people through his filter. Who was it that talked about filters? Shannon Quintana, I think, talked about filters. I see them through a different filter, which allows the Holy Spirit to make me tender-hearted towards others, and a tender heart produces kindness. With age comes life experiences, some good, some bad, even events. Events tend to mold and shape who we are. What was once a tender heart can become hard, scarred, and calloused. Every child has a tender heart. And sometimes those experiences come in, and it causes that heart to be challenged. It causes that heart to be hurt, causes that heart to be calloused and scarred. Unfortunately, sometimes those closest to us suffer the consequences of our unresolved issues. But God the Father wants to change all of that. He wants to heal those areas in my heart that have been hardened over time, hardened by the hurts. God chips away at those hard parts of my heart that have built up from anger, from hate. Wait a minute, I don't hold on to anger. I don't hold on to hate. Yes, I do. And he chips away at it. The wrongs we may have suffered at the hands of someone else. When I say something unkind to my husband or to someone else, or my tone, it's all about the tone, ladies. We can say almost anything if we say it in the right tone. That really is true, I'm telling you. If my tone is harsh, I really have to take a step back and ask, why did I react that way? And again, my daughter Shannon told us a few weeks ago, take a step back, ask yourself, is it because I'm mad? Is it because I'm sad? Is it because I got up late this morning and I had this planned and that planned and the other thing planned and now I can't do it and now I'm frustrated about that and then here comes my husband or here comes that person and they've said something and now I'm angry and step back. Why am I reacting this way? Because I got up late this morning. That's all it is. I just got up late this morning. I'm frustrated with myself. It's nobody else's fault. And you know what? I've come to find sometimes when I get up late, sometimes it wasn't because I was being lazy or anything. It was just God had a different plan for that day. He didn't have the plan that I had. And I get to follow his plan. Maybe I'm frustrated about something. Maybe I'm just tired or hungry. Maybe I'm hangry. Just because I'm having a bad day does not justify me being unkind to my husband or anyone else. Paul writes, I am to be kind. We also have to take a minute before reacting unkindly to someone who has said something unkind to us. Maybe they're going through something right now and we have no idea what they're going through. I give myself grace for when I'm going through something and I react poorly. Why can I not give that grace to someone else? Why can I not extend that grace to someone else when I allow myself to have it? I'm greedy. I want the mercy for my... Oh, I understand why I'm... I was totally right in responding that way. And it's all because of... No. God says we are to be kind. And that's what we're to do, not make excuses about it. Because God has never forgiven an excuse, right? Never forgives excuses, only forgives sins. Maybe they're going through something right now, and that's where good communication has to take place, to quickly apologize, hug, or talk. And when I apologize, when I say apologize, and this is what she says, and I have to agree with her on this as well. Jim and I try really hard to be specific and clear, she says. It's more than I'm sorry. It's, will you forgive me for whatever it was? Whatever the action was, whatever the words, would you forgive me for being short with you? Would you forgive me for letting out my frustrations on you? And whatever it is, saying those words out loud helps us to really see what needs to change in us and lets them know that I recognize I blew it. I recognize I was wrong. I recognize, oh, do we want to tell our husbands that? That I recognize that I was wrong. They'll use it for the rest of our lives. You know that. And they were right. What needs to change in us, and know that I see my flaws and I'm trying to change. So to be tender-hearted, I am to be tender-hearted, and we are closing. Being tender-hearted is having a nature that is caring, gentle, compassionate, sympathetic, warm, generous, and giving. Are we being those things to our family? In 1 Peter 3:8 says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, sisters, be tender-hearted, be courteous. Colossians 3:12 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on, take off the anger, take off the bitterness, and put on tender mercies, put on kindness, put on humility, put on meekness, put on long-suffering. Being tender-hearted also includes forgiving. I want to read this verse one more time as it's written in the King James Version. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, listen carefully, for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. For Christ's sake has forgiven you. And we close with this comment by C.H. Spurgeon, because I think he said it so well. If anyone here who is a Christian finds a difficulty in forgiveness, I'm going to give them three words which will help wonderfully. I would put them into the good man's mouth. I gave them to you just now and prayed you to get the sweetness of them. Here they are again. For Christ's sake, cannot you forgive an offender on that ground? For Christ's sake. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, that we have learned about your kindness, that you are kind, you are gentle, you are compassionate, you are tender-hearted, Lord, and we want those things to be true of us as well. We thank you, Lord, that you have gone before us. You have paved the way for us. You have made a way for us to set aside those things that are unworthy of our time, unworthy of our actions, Lord. Father, you have placed us in this place that we're in today so that we can extend your love to other people. We are not here just for ourselves. We are here for others. And Father God, we give you honor and glory and praise. We worship you, Lord. We honor you. We are thankful, Lord, for what you have for us. We are thankful, Lord, that you have gone before us. Please forgive us, Lord, for those areas where we've allowed anger and bitterness to take root in our lives. And we pray, Father, for the strength to pull out those things. And Lord, just as we pull out a plant and it leaves little hair roots behind and allows that weed to come up again, Lord, help us to remove even those little hair roots from our lives, Lord. That we would walk in victory. That we would walk in joy unspeakable and full of your glory. Because in your presence is the fullness of joy. There are plenty of things for us to be worried about right now. There are plenty of things for us to be fearful of right now. There are plenty of things for us to get our mind wandering off on. There are plenty of things for us to fret over. And Lord, you said, when you see these things coming, don't be taken by them. Look up, for your redemption draws nigh. And we thank you, Lord, and we praise you. We give you glory and honor and praise that's due to your name. Would you remind everyone that is hearing this right now, Lord, to pray for the leaders in our country, to take the time to pray for them. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. Then I will heal their land. God, thank you for that promise. It comes with an if. If my people who are called by my name will do these things, pray and seek my face and turn from wicked ways, then you can heal our land. I'm only one person, Lord, and I choose to pray and seek your face and turn from my wicked ways so that you can hear from heaven and so that you can heal our land. Because all of us single people, individual people, each of our voices together to you, Lord, you hear. And we thank you, Lord. And Father, I pray for the family of Maureen right now. I pray, Father, as they are already beginning some of the things with her memorial service, Lord God, that you would just minister to them right now. I pray, Father, for your covering over them, your comfort for them, Lord, as they mourn. Thank you for the wonderful person that we had the privilege of knowing in Maureen. Thank you, Lord, that she has changed lives. Thank you, Lord, that she left videos behind for her children to teach them how to do things that she might not be here for. Things that will be shown at her daughter's wedding. Lord God, we thank you for Maureen. And we thank you, Lord, that she's been such an example to us. And we pray you bless her family. And thank you for giving us the privilege of knowing her. Help us to walk in your strength today, Lord, in your confidence, in your peace, in your joy, in your kindness. And we give it all to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I will see you guys next week. Excited about what God has for us next week. God bless you.
We come bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you say that we could come before you as we are, as we are. Welcome.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Summer Series episode recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson, and join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry or call us at 714-891-9495.